Good morning. Today is Monday, October the 19th. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Good morning.
Always joyous to see you, Brian.
Boy, you're going to be really excited come Christmas, huh? Oh, Winston, you teed up over there?
I guess
he, he is ignoring you.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah, which easy to do.
Par for the course, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, once you meet you're easy to ignore.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, it's payday tomorrow, so maybe not all the time.
Looks like this one's been done before, so this will be a refresher. How did a person who doesn't believe anything get the name Doubting Thomas?
Wait, you gave that to him last time. He nailed that one.
April 10th, and it was in pencil, so it's not one of mine.
You didn't get Doubting Thomas?
No, I didn't. I think I understand it, but I didn't do it before, no. But Doubting Thomas would be a biblical reference.
Your forehead is saying, oh, yeah, that was mine.
Biblical reference.
Kicked it through the uprights, yeah.
Yes, from the book of Acts, and it's from the upper room when Thomas would not believe unless he stuck his fingers in his hands and his side.
In the wound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Write down Dalby on that one so we know that he got that one.
Oh, man. Bunch of whiners.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All kinds of fun stuff going on out there. I've asked the educator guys last week a little bit about this. What do you see as being the residual normal practices after we're in clear or green or whatever it is when everything kind of all the restrictions are pulled up?
Wow, that's not a big question.
Yeah, because there are new established routines that are starting to happen. Well, and, you know, do you go back?
Huge,
do you not?
Huge question is, you know, now that we have been in this lockdown or whatever you want to call it for so long, how many of your habits will change? How many will you go back to? You know, are you going to exercise differently? Are you going to shop differently? Your daily routines, are they going to be different? Are there going to be people residually just want to wear masks all the time because they do, or out of fear or whatever it is? When will people start traveling in airplanes again and going to resorts? When will you be comfortable in a crowded restaurant?
What is a crowded restaurant?
Exactly. So there's a lot of questions that really have a huge economic impact on businesses as they move forward and will do very well. And others, because of change of habit, may find their markets have shrunk.
And I would suspect that there's also new potential branding or customer desires for things that weren't there before. I think of like a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you walk around in shoes and socks all the time when you're in the room instead of barefoot?
Mm-hmm.
The linens, all the surfaces, do you wipe it down yourself? The marketing potential for that, here's what we do. I think that there's a different sensitivity level in the market, but now how do you convey on a cost-effective basis what you're doing and that you are continuing to do?
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting.
I've had to stay in a couple of hotels recently, and it is amazing how much they tell you about what they're doing. Even stayed in a place where they would not refresh your room because of COVID.
For you, day one to day two?
Correct.
Oh, not for you from the last
game. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of hotel you're hanging out in there? Yeah, okay.
No, we were there two nights, and so this the second day we said, well, nobody came into our room. They go, no, we don't. You're on your own. If you need something, let us know.
Yeah. And going in, that would be kind of nice to have shared, huh?
Yeah, up front. And they probably did, and I ignored it, you know, to be honest. And then, of course, the one thing that amuses me is how many businesses, ones that I rarely do any business with, you know, because I probably have a couple hundred vendors that, you know, are soliciting me constantly because of the bank. But every one of them has to send you their COVID policy. And I don't think I've ever read one, but I've seen them all.
They're all there. Yeah, it's a little, it seems intriguing, I guess is the simplest. And it's a lot of it's probably driven by a fear of potential lawsuits.
Right.
Okay. But as far as the day-to-day, I'm thinking like, okay, because you got a motion sensor. Instead of hitting the handicap button to open the door without touching it, a motion sensor that would automatically open the doors and close. Okay. Probably not a freebie. Probably not inexpensive.
Yeah.
Is that something to consider, yes or no? Yeah, and then going through that process with every step along the way of everything that's there.
Yeah, the problem is trying...
What a nightmare.
You can't protect yourself from everything. I mean, we have the antimicrobial coverings on our doors when you walk in. You know, Safe Handles, which is a local company. It's done very well because of the COVID. But, you know, luckily we were early adapters, so we're on the list. And we get those replaced on a regular basis.
Yeah, how often do those need to be replaced?
They're monthly. They change them every month.
Okay.
You know, so that you can touch the door handle and it doesn't transfer disease from one person to another. So that's a positive. You're going to see more of that, that type of thing, as, you know, people are trying to, you know, be sensitive. You know, at the same time, there is just no way to guarantee 100% that you're not going to be exposed to some germ somewhere, somehow.
Now, on the flip side, though, customer expectations have changed also. You know, so you might not be able to change it all the time, but segments of the population are going to say, yeah, but what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, I mean, you can go crazy spending a ton of money doing it. Or you do what's more than what was done before, and you just say, okay, this is what we're able to do.
You know, and I think people just need to take responsibility for themselves and protect themselves. So if...
Now you're sounding like a dad.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, considering some of the changes that are there, the cultural changes, the health and safety concerns, the heightened awarenesses, all of that, I guess if you glump it, speaks to changing sensitivities in the marketplace. Okay. We saw that from retail. We've seen that from virtual retail. How do you recommend businesses monitor that kind of stuff so that they don't either get left behind or totally surprised when it becomes goes from being a nicety to being something that is really a significant impact on their business's health?
Well, I can, you know, I'm not an expert on it, but I can speculate. And one of the things that I see is that the market is not homogeneous. And what I mean by that, you have people that are offended that they're asked to wear a mask, all the way to those that want to wear a mask and are offended if you don't. Or if you gave me a pen that somebody else touched. You know, you didn't wipe the pen pad down before I touched it. To the one that, you know, just leave me alone, I don't care. And so you have this wide range. And so, you know, the challenge is being, you know, having your systems and your protocols in place that have a wide berth of latitude and tolerance so that, you know, both clients will be comfortable if they walk in.
So you try to satisfy both? Or do you say, you know, we're just going to do this, and, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, then there may be another place that you may want to do business with?
Well, that's the thing. How big is your market, and do you want to push somebody out of your business because either you're requiring them to do something they don't want to do, or somebody doesn't feel comfortable because you're not doing enough? And this is the problem we're going to have moving forward. I mean, we're polarized in so many different ways. Why not another one?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Even like in the food industry, restaurants. Okay, I don't think I've seen too many places where the wait staff has gloves or mittens on, depending on the time of the year. Okay, so is that a concern? For me, no. For others?
Well, if they're
possibly
washing,
so.
If they're washing their hands, I mean, just because they have gloves on doesn't mean that there's not stuff on their gloves.
Right. Yeah, I know. You just kind of keep rolling that one
out.
So
what does it matter? You know,
exactly.
You're protecting them, but you're not protecting me. So it's going to be really interesting as we move forward. It's like today, somebody walks into my office. Well, somebody's coming into my office. I put my mask on before they arrive. And, you know, there's this moment where you're trying to size each other up. Are we going to have this full conversation with our masks on, or are we going to take them off? Do they want to shake hands? Do we want to bump elbows? Do we want to just, you know, virtual shake?
I prefer forehead bumps. Yeah.
And so, you know, there's an awkwardness these days, right, as you're trying to size each other up.
Or you just ask.
I do.
Yeah.
And generally what I'll do, you know, like we conduct an interview, for a job interview. Well, it's really hard to read somebody's face when it's covered with a mask. And so for me, you know, okay, we'll sit, you know, 8 or 9 feet apart, and let's take our masks off so we can talk. Technically the aerosols are there and blah, 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 and we're probably exchanging stuff. But, you know, these are things that we're going to have to work through as a society. And, they're really big challenges if you have a business that people come into.
Yeah, if you interact.
On how you're going to interact with them and make everyone feel comfortable. Not easy to do.
Are you seeing any changes in the in those types of areas in any of the business trades that you get or that you monitor?
It's interesting.
Must be discussion about it.
When I see construction crews, none of them have masks on. And they're talking to each other. In fact, the city's been out on our property doing some work, and I've yet to see anybody, a city employee or a contractor, wearing masks because they do work next to each other. So, I don't know if that's just that trade or if that's a trend, away from the mask thing. I don't know, but
it's interesting.
It's really going to be awkward moving forward.
Well, and the food service folks, you know, like the guys behind doing the food prep, you know, they're wearing stuff all the time anyway. So that's probably one of the safer places if you have those concerns, rather than, you know, some of the other situations.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of any restaurants that had issues at this point with transmission or anything.
No, well, and a lot of that information doesn't seem to get shared, whether it can be shared or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of that I think would be interesting to know, but I think it'll probably be 5 years out before we really get a sense.
Well, another thing is the information we do get, you don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, it just is. It's interesting. So when you're dealing with restricted information, do you avoid the temptation of trying to fill it in? You know, fill in the blank, so to speak, on your intuition. Do you do additional research? How do you?
It is really it is really hard not to fill in the blanks. Yeah, I think we all struggle with that, and I don't know how many times I've seen wrong assumptions based on the fact that somebody's filled in the blanks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's not like bankers don't have a lot of financial forms with a lot of blanks in them that we have to fill in. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the Bank Dude, John Dalby. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. John, considering all the different choices that we have in our area, I mean, to me it was very encouraging to see the tourism season not only occur, but to be extended. Yeah, some of it, we could argue, is because of the construction season. Okay, a lot of nights are being spent and a lot of meals being eaten out because of a lot of the contracting that's going on, the road work and things of that nature. But as you look into next year, okay, maybe tourism's back, maybe it's not, but we've got this huge housing demand that is really pushing things at this point. Are you seeing anything about developers wanting or having the ability either to flip homes, buy old ones, do new things, new developments on the private sector? I know the public sector's got some stuff cooking. Are you guys seeing any financing requirements or asks for not large scale, but let's say 20 to 40 houses at a pop?
I'm not seeing anything coming down the pike as far as new subdivisions. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
For residential.
Something more than onesies.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, we're not seeing much of anything. But that's pretty common around here, especially in the Eureka area, because there's not much land to be developed. And that's been, you know, our problem is not on the demand side, it's on the supply side and has been for a long time. And now we're seeing demand even increase as people from the Bay Area and the Los Angeles Basin are relocating various places. You know, there's an exodus of California, but there's also just an exodus of the metropolis. And so we're seeing people moving here from other parts of California. And so demand of housing has gone up, and we've seen a significant rise in prices.
Merritt has indicated that Fortuna's seen a lot. McKinleyville obviously has got property, is doing some stuff. I was wondering if, with some of the folks that you guys work with, you know, some of those developments like out in Cutton that was talked about 5 or 10 years ago and poo-pooed and shot down, if you're starting to hear rumblings or people are talking about
those
properties now.
Yeah. No, I've heard nothing about any significant development at all.
Well, that's interesting, because you would think that it would start to happen as the housing prices have escalated and are continuing to.
Yeah. And the one concern I have, you know, if you own a house, it's great.
You're riding along.
Yeah, you know. you're riding it up. But it was already difficult for young, working couples to afford a home before this started. And so now you increase the prices by 25%. That makes it just that much harder for somebody starting out in life.
Well, and that's why I was thinking
here.
Some of these developments that Eureka is talking about that are working class entry, and I don't know if it's purchase, I don't know if they're condos or if they're apartments, but you would think that there would be a niche there for some kind of a condo development. So you can get in at a relatively low level and not have, you know, the acreage or the land costs associated with it. So you can get into that sequence too, but that just has never happened around here.
And I think, there are some some talk in the Democrat side of the platform of trying to eliminate the single family dwelling as far as new construction goes. These are just rumblings I've heard. I haven't seen it in print, but that could be the trend as we go forward. Just, you know, higher density housing developments as we move forward because of the things we just talked about.
That would really shoot the housing prices up, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's fixed.
Yeah.
You want a house? Okay. You can't build a new one?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Impacts of the fires. What are you seeing? What are people talking to you about with? I mean, it's kind of calmed down for our neck of the woods. What are you hearing other than that reference you made about people trying to relocate here?
So you've got, again, the fires are driving people in this direction also is, if your house burns down, a lot of times you're not too excited about building another one, in the same location. Plus, it's not something you can do right away because there is a requirement to do some environmental cleanup of the property because everything that was in your house is now in the soil. And so it's not easy. It's not like you can just go down and get a, permit and build a new house. So there are, there's some significant costs and times in rebuilding. With all that said, one of the less demonstrative issues for us has been that most of the homes that are burnt for citizens here are second homes.
The Ruth Lake.
Yeah, the Ruth.
Area, yeah.
It's not as devastating as if it was your primary residence. Now, there's a lot of people that live out there permanently. They've lost their home. So it's there, but it is not like when it went through Santa Rosa or through Napa or some of the other areas.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I'm hearing still supply is a big issue for a lot of the retailers, just getting product.
Yes. Shelves are bare in a lot of areas.
Yeah, which is interesting. I don't know where items are being made or they were being made, but you can only supply it so much even if you're running 24 hours a day. Yeah.
And even transporting them once the supplies are there, getting them somewhere, there's a shortage of trucks.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Here we go.
Hey, let's go gas-free.
Yeah.
Why not? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Dalby from Da Bank. Rooting for Da Bears. John, as you are considering next year, okay, I know you guys do budgeting and forecasting, and you got your crews out there trying to figure out what's going on. What is the general state of business health in Humboldt County today, and does it significantly change within the next 12 months?
Don't know, and yes. does that help?
Oh,
you want a bigger answer than that?
Clarity is superb.
So we're really trying to answer the question of business health. And you have, from our perspective as a lender, the things that you normally would be indicators of problems would be, issues with overdrafts, late payments. Those are kind of some of the first indicators that we get other than having a conversation and somebody telling us they're having some challenges. So with that said, a lot of those things have been clouded because of some of the, issues with COVID. You have a lot of deferrals, so people have been offered and allowed to defer payments. So during the deferral, if you had an SBA loan, well, the SBA's made your payments for 6 months. So If you can't make the payment, we don't know it because it's being made for you. And then you also have a lot of stimulus money. And there's a lot of people that took PPP as a precaution and haven't spent any of the money. So there's a lot of that stimulus money still laying around. And, you know, are they making their payments and are they surviving because of stimulus money or because of deferrals? And when that gets undone or expires, what's going to be left? So we're talking to our clients, we're asking them questions, and we're sending out surveys and trying to get the information we can to find out the general health. What we're finding is it's not as bad as we thought it was. You have a lot of your tourism is coming here, and the reason being is you can't fly anywhere. People are afraid to fly, so destination resorts and hotels that generally you fly to are not doing well.
Yeah, the Disneylands and folks like that, yeah.
But the driving destinations do very well, and that's us. We're a driving destination. Same thing happened after 9/11 when people wouldn't fly for a pretty significant period of time, and the same thing happened in the hospitality industry. Is if you were a flight destination, you were struggling, yet our hotels were having banner years, and that's because we're a driving destination. So we've done very well, and I think we'll do well again next year because I don't think it's going to flip that quickly. A lot of construction going on. You can't find a contractor. You can't find tradesmen. They're going to be very, very busy. So I think this is going to be a pretty solid recovery unless something really crazy happens in Washington in the next few months. And I'll let you define.
Stay tuned.
I'll let you define crazy.
To be defined. TBD. To be defined. It's cautiously optimistic. I think that's what Dad would always say. Cautiously optimistic about next year. So we'll see who's closer to the mark on this one. Thanks for coming by.
Good
see everybody
see
tomorrow.
You.